that you're one of them today. And I'm thankful for all the things, and that's saying that Tara shared with us. If we don't thank the Lord for what He's given to us, you know, it's just like the talents, the gifts that God gives to us. He's liable to just take them away and give them to somebody else. And so we need to be appreciative of all that the Lord has done for us this evening. In the book of Acts, in the 5th chapter, is where we're going to read just one verse to you tonight. Just one verse is upon our heart. And just take our thought and the message from there. For the time that we'll be before you this evening while you pray for just a little while tonight. Book of Acts, the 5th chapter. And if you found it and like to stand for the reading of God's Word, go with me all the way down to the very last verse of this 5th chapter of the book of Acts. And it says it like this: "And daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." And today, we need to not cease to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. I'd like to use the first part of this thought tonight and just preach a message entitled Teachers. And maybe some other time the Lord let us use preachers because we need to cover both sides of this story. But the Bible teaches us that after that they had been beaten and commanded not to teach anymore or speak in the name of Jesus, they were let go. And the Bible says that they departed from the council, and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And instead of going back to the house and quit teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus, Bible says in the verse that we read, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to preach or to teach and preach Jesus Christ." How many of us tonight, this is not my message, but just a thought, but how many of us, if we had suffered beatings because we were teaching in the name of Jesus and told not to do it anymore, and if we did, that there would be repercussions, how many of us would still be found daily teaching and preaching Jesus Christ? I'd like to use for a thought tonight, simple and titled, Teachers. Because we're all teachers. Every one of us. Some folks say, "Well, I'm not apt to teach. I'm not well learned. I'm not familiar enough with the Scripture." How many of you have been saved for any time whatsoever? We're all teachers of Jesus Christ. Everywhere Jesus went, the Bible says that He went to teach and to preach and to heal. He went to teach them about their ways, where they was headed, and that He was the only way, the only escape from a place called hell and destruction. And when He left here, He gave the great command to all His apostles to go into every city and teach in His name. And these apostles, they were there and they taught on Jesus. And today we've come to a place in our lives, and I'll put this in and I'll move on. But we've come up to a place in our life to where teaching and preaching about Jesus Christ is not as popular as it once was. That they would rather you teach and preach about something else than teach and preach about Jesus Christ. But nothing else will get our people saved. Because only at the name of Jesus can sins be forgiven. Only in His name can our captives be set free. And only in His name can those that are sick be healed. And all manner of illnesses and sicknesses be healed. And all sins be forgiven. Only in the name of Jesus. No other name. We have folks that's teaching in every name that there is. People that are trying every doctrine of wind that comes along. And I said I wasn't going to go with the preachers tonight, but I want to talk about the teachers, because a lot of this, Sister Violet, that's being taught to our people, it's going to take them to hell and destruction for all eternity, and them leaving here thinking that being part of an organization or being part of a church or being part of a group, that that makes it good enough to get into heaven. But the Bible says you must be born again. And only in the name of Jesus Christ can we find what we have need of. I do not understand how people go through all the things in life. As Lee and I was talking before church or while the choir was getting ready, I don't understand how people can go through all these things without having a God such as the one that we serve tonight to lean upon, to call upon, and to ask for help from. There's no other name, the Bible says, given under heaven amongst men that they could call upon except for the name of Jesus to be saved. No other name that can bring you the peace and the joy that you stand in need of. No other name that you can call upon and you can count on angels being dispatched to come to your rescue. And I know that I'm in a Baptist church, but I believe the whole counsel of the Word of God. If the Lord says that He could do it, I believe He can do it. In fact, I have witnessed, and some of you have witnessed, the wonderful works of God through Jesus Christ. Not just salvation, but how many of you felt the works of the Lord in your life since salvation? And it's not because we're all that, but it's because we had somebody to teach us about Jesus and teach us about His ways and teach us how to live right and how to do right. And I'm glad that a lot of folks may look down and feel sorry for us that we was brought up in churches where that we had to go so many times a week and we had services that lasted for so many hours and all the things that we had to go through. But looking back over my life, I wouldn't take back one service. I wouldn't take back one opportunity because every one of them was used to teach us in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that we would know how to live when we got to this point in our lives. And not only did they teach from the Word of God, but they also taught by their lives. How many of us learn by watching somebody else's life? And I'm not against education, and I'm not going to be long-winded tonight either, so don't get scared on me. But I'm not against education, but folks, we have educated ourselves to the point that God can't do anything with us. Because we are in our minds so much smarter than what God is. I've often testified and shared with the churches that my dad had to quit school in the eighth grade. Didn't even finish the eighth grade in order to stay home and work on the farm to help and put food on the table. But I have learned more from my dad with not even an eighth grade education than I have sitting in some of the classroom with PhDs. Standing and lecturing because they taught about what they had learned. They taught about something that was physical that you could touch and something that you could see and something that you could hear. How many of you though learned about a man that you cannot see with the natural eye? You can't touch him with a natural hand. You can't hear him with a natural ear. But I've seen him work in so many people's lives. And I learned how that he worked in their life. And you know what my prayer has been in the latter years? Lord, I want you to work in my life. Teach me that I might also be able to teach others about you and all of your good works, because He is a God that I want to share with just everybody. Because I know what He can do. I've seen Him work. In the places where I didn't think God would show up, He showed up and did the works that our people stood in need of. And the Bible teaches us that we're to ask God to teach us. And we're to teach each other. I have learned so much from the services and learned so much from my brothers and sisters in the house of God. But sometimes it's the ones that never say a word that you can learn the most from. Because they're not trying to put on a picture or try to paint a picture for you that's false. They're just living their life and enjoying God every step of the way. And you know, when I want to learn something, I want to go to somebody that knows what they're talking about. Amen. There's some doctors down at the hospital, and I'll put this in before I move on. And I'm sure it's everywhere. There's some doctors down there that do one or two surgeries of a certain kind. And then there's other surgeons down there that do 500 or 600 of these surgeries each year. And when I thought about those today as I was driving over here, if I had to have a surgery, I wouldn't want the one that's only done one or two. I'd want the one that's done a bunch of them because they've learned, they've been taught, and they're experiencing it, and they're practicing it. When it comes to God and His Word, I want somebody that knows what they're talking about. Somebody that didn't go to school to learn about God. And there's nothing wrong about going to school. If God calls you, go to school and get all the education you can. But I want somebody that knows what they're talking about when it comes to teaching the Word of God. Somebody that's been to the river and been baptized in the fire and the Holy Ghost. Somebody that's not just got a book knowledge of God, but's got a personal experience of God. Somebody that knows what it's like to be saved by grace. And know that they have all the things that God has provided that they appreciate the Lord and His doing in their life. But the Bible says that we ought to ask God to teach us all. Every one of us ought to ask God to teach us. David says in the book of Psalms in the 25th chapter and about the 6th verse, he said it like this, Lord, teach me your paths. So what David was saying is, Lord, teach me your path so I'll know where to walk. Because I don't know where, as that song used to say, I don't know where to put my foot down next. I need the Lord to show me the paths in which I need to walk in. Some folks, Brother Ivan, might say, well, you just follow some of those that taught you and walk in their path and everything will be all right. God's got different paths for all of us to walk in. There's only one highway of holiness, don't get me wrong. But while we're here, there's different paths that God will take us on. Some of us, God has walked us down paths that we thought we'd never have to walk upon. But you know, when looking back, aren't you glad that He didn't point you down a road and say, you go that way and I'll catch up with you down the road? But every step of the way, the Lord was there to walk with you and to teach you how to walk in His path. Because without the Lord, folks, the pastor can't teach you how to walk. I can't teach you where to go. People say, what do you think I ought to do about this? We all have our own path that we have to walk. And it takes God walking beside of us to help us, to teach us which way to go. And when we come to the forks in the road, so to speak, do I go to the left or do I go to the right? Instead of depending upon ourselves, we just ask the teacher to help us, that we might be able to learn the paths in which we ought to walk in. In the next chapter, in the 25th chapter, in the 5th verse, David said it like this, Lord, teach me your truth. And I wish the churches would go back and ask God to teach them the truth one more time. Because we have veered so far away from the truth that we don't even know what the truth is in most of our churches today. When you talk to people that say that they go to church and say that they're a member of a church, and folks, don't get me wrong, it's important that you become a member of a church and that you go to church, but in order to be able to talk about it, you first have to be taught what it's like to be a Christian, to be a child of God. If you just belong to the church, you can't be taught very much. Because church is the only place you're going to learn. But when you have been saved by God's grace, we have teachers all the way around us. It's not just in church that we're taught, but how many of you have visitors that come to your house during the week? Some of you say, well, what kind of house are you talking about? I'm not talking about the house that you may live in down the street. I'm talking about this house. Then when this house, visitors come, and maybe I shouldn't even call them visitors, they're honored guests that come, and they teach us about God's will and His Word and the truth. That's why even sometimes it tickled me, and I know what Tara was testifying about tonight. I've been at times when the boys or Tiffany would come up and they'd been to some other church and they would come home and they'd say they read out of some Bible, didn't even sound like our Bible. And I say amen to that because you know why? That means they've been taught the truth. They've been taught that it's not just any book that man puts together that you ought to be reading from and learning from, preaching from and teaching from, but it's the Word of God, the King James Version, if I could put it like that, 1611 Version. That's the one that we need to teach us the truth, because the Bible says that the truth will set you free. And if you're set free, folks, God, when He sets you free, there's no more bounds to have you held down. But God will open up your heart, He'll open up your mind, and He'll teach you those things, what is true. And some folks, and I'll say this and I'll move on. Some folks, the truth is whatever the pastor at that time preaches. And what a shame it is. You ought to know the truth for yourself. How in the world are we going to teach somebody if we don't know what the truth is? I've talked with some and they say, well, my church teaches it like this. And your church can teach however they want. But folks, it's what God says is true is what makes it the truth. The Bible teaches us like this. Let God be true and every man a liar. If God is the truth, then we ought to listen to Him and let Him teach us. Because we've got too many of them that are teaching what they've learned from some other man. And I know it's not favorable preaching, but it's the truth. We need to have God's truth in our life. Not what the world says. Can I put this in tonight? Because the world will tell us that a lot of things are true. The world will tell us a lot of things are right. But when we measure it up against God's Word, somebody is wrong. And when it comes to somebody being wrong, you know what the Bible says? It teaches us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's Word will not fail. Not one dot or one tittle of this will pass away. What's true today will be true 100 years from now. And if time goes on, it'll be true another 100 after that. In fact, for all eternity, you know what will be there? The truth. And the truth is what will teach us and set us free. He also says in His Word that we need God to teach us, because David said it like this over about chapter 90 of the book of Psalms. Around the 12th verse, he said like this, Lord, teach me to number my days. Why would we want to number our days? Because he said that I might apply my heart unto wisdom. Some of us, and I didn't come to preach to the church, I just come to preach about teaching tonight. But it's the Word of God. Some of us, when we look back in our life, I wish that I had learned more when I was younger and applied it more to my life than waiting until I got up in years to do it. I can't go back and redo that. But I'm trying my best to make up for lost time, aren't you? I'm trying my best, Lord, teach me and teach me fast, that I might attain to wisdom, because my days are coming to an end. And now, I know sometimes people look at me kind of strange, but many of us have got less days left than what we've already lived. If we're going to do anything for God, we better be doing it. If we're going to learn anything to pass it on to the next generation, we better be applying ourselves. How many of you went to school and never applied yourself? That'll get some hands up. Because every one of us did. When I was in junior high and high school, looking back, I just went to class. I got out with good grades, but I never had to study. And at the time, I thought that was the best thing that ever could happen to somebody. I'd sit and I'd listen to the lectures and I'd go and I'd be able to take the test. I didn't have to study. And it caused me to pick up some bad habits because I didn't apply myself. I didn't learn as much as I could have if I would have applied myself more. Well, we've carried those same bad habits into the church. Because for years, mom and dad and preachers and teachers tried to teach us about God and about the church, and we didn't pay attention to them. We could recite some of the verses. We could tell them where Scripture was at. But we didn't pay attention to all they was teaching, because it's not just what you hear that you need to learn. It's those things that are invisible that we need to learn. How to follow the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. People say, how do I do that? God has to teach us how to do that. Because otherwise we'll get in our flesh and get up and do something in ourselves. And the Bible says if we're led by the Spirit, that we'll be in decency and in order. But if we get up in ourselves, we'll be out of order. And we'll cause a disruption to the service. We need to ask the Lord to teach us the number of our days so that we might learn and learn more about God. They sing that song every once in a while. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about my Jesus. Sometimes I wonder if we listen to the words of the songs as we sing them. Because if we really wanted to learn more, we'd be applying ourselves at a deeper level than what we ever have. The Bible also says it like this when it comes to being taught by the Lord. In the book of Psalms, and I'm back in the 119th chapter, David said, to teach me your judgments. The Bible teaches us that judgment is coming to every one of us. The Bible also says that judgment must first begin in the house of the Lord. It is brought to us by the teaching and the preaching under the demonstration of the Holy Spirit that we learn the judgments of God. In fact, that's what got me wanting to be saved. As I heard that all that don't know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin will die and go to hell. That's judgment. I did not want to die and go to hell. So the Lord taught me His judgment and sent me an invitation that I didn't have to go there. And I'm glad that I don't have to worry about the judgment of God. Many folks are worried about this, and I didn't come to get into doctrine tonight, but I want to preach what's upon my heart. Many folks are worried that when we all die and we all are resurrected, that we're all going to stand before the judgment throne of God. He's going to say, you go to heaven, you go to hell, and He's going to do that to all of us. The Bible says, as a tree falls, so shall it be. If you go down in your sins, you're going to be resurrected in your sins. If you go down in Christ Jesus, Brother Jim, we're going to get up in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. When we close our eyes, final judgment has already been sentenced upon us. And however you die, that's where you're going to go. So we need to learn about the judgment. We need to teach people about judgment. This doctrine that's in our land that you can just do anything you want and when you come ready to die, God will say you tried your best, come on into heaven, is straight from the devil's hell. Trying to get people to think that they're all right when we ought to be teaching them that there's a difference between what God's Word says and what the world says. You can't act like the devil and expect to get into heaven. You can't live like the devil. You can't live your whole life for the devil and expect God to save you upon your deathbed. There's no promise of it. But our people are living like they've got years and years and years to get ready when they've only got days at best. At best, they've only got days. Because, and I use this illustration so many times over the years, it seemed like we were just talking to somebody yesterday or the day before. I don't even know who it was. But the question came up and they asked me, I guess it was over at the hospice center, asked me if we had tomatoes plants, if we put tomato plants out this year. And at first I told them no. Then I said, well, Becky did put out a couple of those little cherry tomatoes. Thank you. I said I had plans on putting some out, but before I knew it, it was already past July. Time got away from us. How many of us today can look back and say, I know where the summer went. I know where this year has went. How many of us can look back and say, I know where the last 5 years or 10 years have gone to? Time is evading all of us to where it's quickly moving and we don't have the promise of yet another day. And our people are living like they've got an eternity to get right because they've been taught the wrong stuff. And you know what's the major culprit of it? And this is on the preacher side of it when I get to that some other day. The major culprit of all this doctrine is coming over the airways. Most of those, all they care about is your donation. I heard a preacher the other day on, well, a program the other day on the radio, and their cost on the airways is $2 million a week. $2 million a week that they pay to be on the airways. Now, they're just not on one station, you can tell by that kind of expense. Where do you think their priority is at? They've got to get the money coming in to pay for those bills. And in order to keep the money coming in, folks, people give a whole lot more when they like what you're saying. Amen? If we was on the airways, how much do you think this kind of preaching would bring in? We'd probably starve. Because people don't support what's being taught if it's the truth. As long as you tell people they can do whatever they want, live however they want, everything will be all right at the end, they love you for it. But the Bible says if a man loves you, he'll preach you the truth. He'll tell you the truth and try to teach you what is the truth of God. He says in that same verse, Lord, teach us about knowledge. We live in a time people are smarter than they've ever been, but yet they're dumber than they've ever been. And I know that's not good probably to say from a pulpit, but they're smarter, they got more degrees hanging on the wall, but they know less about God than they've ever known. They don't know a thing about God. In fact, the guy was telling me just yesterday in a conversation something about somebody he knows that's so smart, or about a woman that he knows is so smart, but yet she can't even drive her car. She's got all kinds of book knowledge, but common sense, she ain't got a lick. And it's in the church as well. People got all kinds of intelligence, but they know less about God. In fact, the Bible, the verse says it like this, that we are ever learning, but we're ignorant concerning God. We need to be taught so we can have some knowledge of God. Not just that we know Him, but that we have knowledge of Him. We know what He's like. We know when He shows up. When our door at the house opens, I can almost tell you who it is that's coming in by the way they walk. You see what that picture paints? Is that we spend enough time to them that we know their walk. When they come in, we know who it is. If we spend that time with God, we'd have that same kind of knowledge about Him. And then he also said this over in 143rd chapter, the 10th verse. He said, the Lord, we need to ask God to teach us His way, not our way. How many of you like to get your way? Some of you didn't raise your hand, but you know it's true. As long as we get our way, we're happy as pig in mud. But when we don't get our way, we get all festered up. And I just have to point that out. We get mad. We get upset. But what we need to do is say, Lord, not my way, but your way. You teach me what to do. You teach me where to go. You teach me what to say. Teach me what to sing. Because it's not just a bunch of words. It ought to be a song. It ought to be something that comes from the heart. Teach us your will for our life. And folks today want to have God, but they don't want to do God's will. They don't want God telling them what they can and can't do. And I say it just like this. People say, don't it upset you that you can't do all the things that we do? And my answer to that is I do everything I want to. Because you see, when I got saved and when I learned what it meant to be a child of God and when I learned what is right and what is wrong and I got some wisdom, I learned that my want-tos is different than what the world's is. And folks, even still today, He's still working on us, is He not? Because there's still, sometimes we still take the stubs. Because we want our way. And God has to show us who's boss. And sometimes we still get a little upset that we didn't get our way. Let me close tonight. We need to ask God, as they did in the book of Luke in the 11th chapter. We need to ask God to teach us how to pray. Because I didn't know how to pray. And I'll confess to you tonight, I still don't know how to pray. Right after I announced my call to preach, this guy at church brought me a book and said, I think this will be great help to you. And it was a book of prayers. He said, this got all kinds of prayers in it for whatever you're going through. And not to be offensive, but I guess I took it. I don't know where it's at. I'm sure I don't have it now. But, folks, my prayer cannot be your prayer. My prayer cannot come from a book. We need God to teach us how to pray for the circumstance that we're in at that time. There's times that we need to be taught how to pray a prayer of thankfulness. Times that we need to be taught how to pray a prayer of need. A time that we need to be taught how to pray a prayer of, Lord, not my will, but yours be done in my life. If we would learn all the things that God wants us to have, folks, we would be the most appreciative people that there is in this life. And we would be able to teach other people. Because you think back on your own life, as Sharon and Jim comes tonight, you think back over your own life. I've learned more in the church from people's lives than I have from anything that they would say with an audible voice. I've learned more by God coming in a song, God coming in a message, the Holy Spirit passing by our way and teaching us things that we had no insight to. And when the Lord teaches it to you, it'll stick with you. It won't leave you tomorrow or the next day. But it'll stay with you all the days of your life. Not that we'll do it all the days, but what He's taught us, Sister Lee, will stay with us. How many of you can remember a teacher in school that taught you a subject matter or a principle that you still to this day can recite or you can go back and reclaim it? And the reason why is because they had a way of teaching it that got our attention. They had a way, because of their love for it, the subject matter, they could teach it, and they had the experience to teach it. God's Word is full of experience, Sister Ruby. Whatever it is that we have need of in our life, you can find it right here. Whatever it is that you need to be taught, you can find it right here. I was reading tonight before church, just doing some casual reading. And I come across the verse that said that there is no invention that is known to man that has not been. Can you imagine that? Everything we think that, hey, that's the latest and greatest. The Word of God says, it's been there. It's been there. Just think about all that we could learn if we just go to the teacher and say, Lord, teach me. I'm your student. Teach me so my life can glorify you. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song tonight. We are the teachers. And if the teachers aren't where they should be, anybody ever had a teacher that was subpar? Didn't really know the subject matter that much. Maybe they was just thrown in at the last minute to be a substitute or something. And you felt like, I know more than what the teacher knows. Sometimes it's that way. When we go to the house of the Lord, somebody that don't know what they're talking about, well, we recognize it real quick. Billy and I was talking about a guy that we used to know. And never will forget, and I've shared it here with the church years ago. But this guy come in and he was preaching a message and preaching a good message until he got to the point that he was trying to make. And he come across with that only Baptists are going to heaven. See, there was people in the congregation being taught that the Bible says all it takes is you must be born again. Doesn't matter if you're Baptist or not. You must be born again. And when people heard that, they said, that's not what we've been taught. That's not what the Word says. And they shut him down. And rightfully so. We need to know what we know comes straight from the Word of God and not from some man's opinion. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. Tonight, some of us need to be better teachers. Some of us need to be better students so that we can apply what God has taught us in our own life. Take His Word, and Brother Bill asked God to just help us that we might learn so that we can teach others about God, about the church, and about salvation. Because our time is quickly running out, church. Our days are getting shorter. And people are going to remember us for that which we did for God. Future generations are counting on us to teach them about the Lord. How about you tonight? Come home, come home. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We need to know more about God than we've ever known. Because the world knows more about the ways of the devil and about the ways that they're being deceived than they ever have. Yes. He's pleading tonight. Are you a good student? And are you teaching those things that you've learned to your children, your grandchildren, to your neighbors, to your co-workers, to all those that we come in contact with, because we're all teachers. Help them sing this chorus tonight, would you? Yes. Yes, ye that are weary, come home. Yes. Yes. Come on home. How many of you wish you'd paid more attention in school? And you know why you wish you'd paid more attention? Because you would have learned more. Those things that the teachers was trying to teach us, we thought was useless. Later in life, we found out they knew what they was talking about. But it's too late. Now we got to go back and pick up all that stuff and try to build upon it again. And how many of you know as you get older, it's harder to learn? Amen? It's tough. And it's the same way in our Christian life. I look back at all the things that those old pastors and preachers, Sunday school teachers tried to teach us, and we just went at it halfway, for lack of better terminology. And now looking back, we wish we'd paid closer attention to what they was trying to teach us. Because we could have saved ourselves a lot of heartache if only we'd paid attention. And for you kids getting ready to go back to school, you take this back with you. Learn all you can learn. But make sure you're being taught the right thing. The right thing. God bless you. I hope you got something from the Word tonight. Remember each other as we come to the close of this service. Certainly remember Tom and that family. Because they are brokenhearted, devastated. And our church, because we've lost a great friend, a great sister in the Lord. She's, I guess Anita and Tom's been coming here about 5 years, 6 years, somewhere in that time frame. But in that time frame, when God put them in here, they just fit in here perfect and feel like they've been here much longer than that. And we're going to miss her. So you pray for them tonight, would you? Remember all of our upcoming services. Remember each other. For those of you that's going to be away this weekend, how many, again, is going to be away? Jackie and Wayne's gone, and Dot and Cecil's gone. Okay. Y'all be careful on the highways, Sister Lee. Be careful in your travels. Watch out, because there's construction everywhere, and people will run over you. And so watch out. Be careful. And the rest of you will see you on Sunday morning, expecting great things to happen in the house of the Lord when we come together. God bless you tonight.